In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm often afraid. This world moves quickly, erratically, unpredictably. There are, in the apocalyptic words of the New Testament, forces of death, powers operative in this world that elude our mastery. The world is quite literally choking itself to death on its own waste. The seas are encroaching upon us, threatening to swallow us whole, to take our cities, our lives into their depth. We don't seem to be able to stop fleeing from this judgment. I'm afraid. I have a 2-year-old son who will have to live in this world for the next 80 years. I fear for his future. I fear we will perish. You might remember the story of Jonah. Jonah, a Hebrew, was told to go to the great Gentile imperial city of Nineveh, the seat of the Assyrian Empire, the persecutors of the Jewish people, and he was told to preach. Jonah was to save that city from judgment. He was to save his enemies. But Jonah fled. Jonah fled from divine presence. He took to the sea. The sea, which was in the Hebrew imagination the site of chaos, danger. He ran from God to Tarshish, which is, we think, somewhere in Spain. As far from Palestine as possibly imaginable in the ancient world, the Atlantic being nothing but a great void beyond. As Jonah fled, the waves crashed upon the ship, and the crew feared they would perish. Jonah, comfortably asleep in the deck below, was awoken and asked what peril he had brought upon the crew. With a pang of conscience, Jonah confessed he was fleeing the presence of his God. He thought God wouldn't find him in Tarshish, that his God might prove just to be a regional God confined to the boundaries of Palestine. And so he asked the crew to throw him into the depth so as to save their lives. Swallowed by the great fish, Jonah spends 3 days and 3 nights in its belly. In our gospel reading today, Jesus and his disciples are heading across the Sea of Galilee to the country of the Gerasenes, a Gentile area. As evening falls, they head into the darkness, and a storm comes upon them, filling the boat with water, waves crashing against it. The disciples panic, fearing they will perish. Jesus, like Jonah, lies sleeping on the pillow in the stern. Woken from his sleep to the panicked cry of the disciples, "Rabbi, don't you care what's happening to us?" Jesus rebukes the sea, saying, "Peace, be still." The fear doesn't leave the disciples. It's transferred from the fear of perishing in the sea to a fear of wonder at just who is this person whom the wind and the sea obey. Why does Jonah flee from God? We might remember that the Assyrian Empire was the first empire to come and take the northern kingdom of Israel into exile. The Assyrians scattered the people of Israel throughout their empire, destroying the kingdom. Jonah is being asked to preach repentance to these people, to his enemies, to those he despises. Eventually, he does obey, with some arm twisting, and the people of Nineveh repent. Yet, this does not take any of the sting out of Jonah's disgust. Speaking to God outside the city gates, Jonah says, rather ironically, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah's not happy the Gentiles repent, quite the opposite. Jonah resents the love of God, that God loves in such a way that even those who drive his people into exile are given the grace to repent. Jonah's resentment is perfectly understandable. How many of us want to see our enemies meet a cruel fate? Our enemies having driven our families into exile, scattered them around the edge of their empire. How many of us are glad to see pain in those we despise? And yet, God refuses. Jesus is going to the country of the Gerasenes, where he will be met immediately with a man being tormented by evil spirits. He will show compassion, healing the man, driving the spirits into a herd of pigs. Of course, unclean animals in Jewish custom. On the boat, as the tempest rages, as the water fills the boat, then the disciples are left to wonder if they have, like the crew on Jonah's ship, found themselves on board with a cursed man. Yet, Jesus is not thrown into the sea. He simply waits and rebukes the tempest. Whereas in Jonah, the tempest was a sign of disobedience to the divine command, a sign that God is the God of the whole earth, the elements, and all its peoples, that you cannot flee from his presence. In Jesus, the tempest is a sign of obedience, a sign that God is the God of the whole earth, the elements, and that God will come to all the earth's peoples, that the presence of God to the earth's peoples is Jesus of Nazareth. Further, Jesus comes to all the earth's peoples with his confused, wondering band of disciples who don't seem to quite know what's happening at any given moment. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, when asked for a sign, that the only sign that will be given to this generation is the sign of Jonah. He says, "Just as Jonah spent 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will spend 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus is positioned as the one who does the will of God, preaches the good news of the grace of God to all peoples, and yet is still thrown into the heart of the earth. Yes, Jesus is obedient where Jonah fails. Yes, Jesus loves where Jonah can only find resentment. And yes, we kill him for it. Just as Jonah resents the Lord for showing grace to his enemies, so we resent Christ for loving all peoples relentlessly. Yet there is good news, even for us. God shows grace even in our resentment of his grace. God continues in faithfulness even as we fear, even as we damage this good gift of the earth, even as we find ourselves victims of our own greed, failure, and lovelessness. Just as Jonah is vomited onto the beach by the great fish, God in Christ emerges from the tomb after 3 days. The hatred of his love, which compelled us to kill him, is finally overcome. The French mystic Simone Weil writes that it is only from the light which streams constantly from heaven that a tree can derive the energy to strike its roots deep into the soil. The tree is in fact rooted in the sky. Here for Ve, the sun is analogous to grace. It is available to all without discrimination. Yet that which is universally available, grace, allows us to drive roots deep into the earth. The tree is rooted in the sky. Grace is what gives us to drive ourselves into the earth. Grace is what gives us the nourishment to love. It is not something we can drum up within ourselves. Jonah knew God would be gracious to his enemies, and so he resisted divine grace. He wanted cold vengeance. Jesus, in obedience to God, relying on nothing other than grace, offers himself as gift to all, even his enemies, those who will kill him. Perhaps you share my fear, perhaps not. As the sea laps the edges of our cities, as the sea swallows our island neighbours' homes, we find ourselves feeling rather powerless in the wake of this disaster. Rabbi, don't you care what's happening to us? In this moment, it can often feel as though Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the stern. The storm is raging, it's dark out, and we cannot see the shore. I don't pretend to offer you any answer here, any sense of surety that all shall be well. That would be perhaps dishonest on my part. But what I do know is that we are asked to follow, not to flee like Jonah. We are asked to persist in this, knowing that we have the sign of Jonah. So our hope is not in possible futures, in probabilities, but in the recollection of the past, in the memory that is made real and present to us in our presence to one another here, and in the recollection that God is faithful in spite of us. A fearful thought, perhaps.